Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy, Thy kindness, Thy goodness endureth forever. We thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that Thou wilt help us to understand more and more, that we might believe more and be more blessed in Him. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. When we turn in the Gospel of Matthew to the 5th chapter, we come to one of the better known passages of the Bible. Perhaps, as far as the New Testament is concerned, this would be one of the most commonly known and recognized and perhaps even quoted passages. I'm speaking of what is ordinarily called the Beatitudes. You find them in the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter, the first 12 verses. Now, what we actually have in chapters 5, 6, and 7 is what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. If, as we have been reading in this gospel, we have been noticing that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, and if we ever wondered what was He preaching, what sort of thing did He say, you could read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 and see what He was saying. This is the kind of preaching He was doing when He was preaching in the time of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist was put in prison, the Lord Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is that kind of preaching. And in these first 12 verses, which we commonly call the Beatitudes, we have a description of the experience of any man in whom the will of God is being done. Many of us would be, I think, a little surprised to know that practically all of the Beatitudes are in the Old Testament, most of them in the book of Deuteronomy. These things were said back there. They were said then. They'll be said anytime, anywhere, by way of pointing out the benefits and the blessings that follow if you let the will of God be done in your life. If any man were in the kingdom of God, that is to say, if he were so related to God that God's will was being done in him, these things would follow. There'd be certain things that you would find in him, and he would have certain benefits. For instance, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, this isn't written this way for you to go out and try and be poor in spirit. But the point is saying this, that if you're a person who is in relationship with God and the Spirit of God is working in your heart, and you will be conscious of your own weakness, your own shortcomings, that's being poor in spirit. You feel poor in the sight of God. You have a low estimate of yourself. This is what it means to repent. This is like saying, "Blessed is the man who repents, who is poor in himself, in his own thinking, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The reason that he's blessed, that he's fortunate, is that that kind of a person actually has the kingdom of heaven, actually belongs to God, and that's a wonderful thing. Now look at the next one. "Blessed are they that mourn." This is not to say that there is some virtue or some peculiar benefit will come to you if you morbidly feel bad any day and every day. This is not the kind of thing that would say that if you make it the practice of your life always to lament, you'll be fortunate. That's not it. Let's look at it a little bit more closely. "Blessed are they that mourn," and if you get that in its context in the Bible, you'll find out that it's the people that mourn because of their sins, because of their shortcomings. It's the people who say, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." That kind of mourning. It's what the Apostle Paul would say when he says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." Well, that's the kind of mourning that there is involved. "Blessed are they that mourn because of their own failures and shortcomings, for they shall be comforted." They're not going to be comforted because they're mourning. The point is that anybody that is that honest and that straightforward anybody who actually is so committed to God in spirit as to be willing to judge himself can be very sure of one thing: God will take care of him. You can go down the whole list and find it working in exactly the same way in each case. For instance, blessed are the meek. Well, now, a person who is meek is a person who does not retaliate when some injustice is done. The person who is not willing to fight for his own rights, who will allow another person to do in unjustly to him and personally will not resist nor retaliate. Who, when he is reviled, reviled not again. And the word is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, when this expression, they shall inherit the earth, is given here, this does not mean that they will inherit all the real estate in your community. This doesn't refer to land, to property. This is a promise taken out of the Old Testament when the children of Israel were facing the problem of getting into the land of Canaan. And the word the earth can be translated the land. And this was a promise given to them that if they would walk with God, let God walk with them, and would act in the way that would be pleasing to God, God would see to it that they were brought into the land of promise. Blessed are the meek, not so much because they're meek, but because God's going to help them, and God will take care of them. You see, the man who doesn't fight for himself is a man who can trust in God. Now, if a man fights for himself, he's not trusting in God. And anybody that goes out here and tries to take care of himself doesn't need to expect the blessing of God. But if you trust your case to God, and you refuse to raise a hand to defend yourself or to fight for yourself, you are fortunate, because that's the kind of person that God will give the promises to. You shall inherit the land, the earth, the land, the promises of God. Now look at the next one. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now a true hunger and thirst for righteousness comes in the heart when the will of God is being done in the heart of the man. And if I deeply, deep down in my heart, really and sincerely wish to God I were good and I want to be right, I can count myself very fortunate, because that's a symptom, that's a sign, that shows that God's working in my heart. And they shall be filled, they shall be satisfied. If I really want to be right before God, God can make me just as right as anything through the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that reminds you of what you will find when we study the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Blessed are the merciful, or the people who are merciful to others who owe them, others who are at a disadvantage in relationship with them. If I have the right and the privilege, the authority, to demand something of somebody, he owes it to me. I've got a perfect right to take it. Now, blessed am I if I'm merciful. Why? Because that shows I've got the will of God in my heart, the grace of God in my heart. God doesn't deal that way with people to demand from them every last thing that's coming to him. He is gracious and merciful. And blessed are the merciful in forgiving others, because God will forgive them. So you can go on through the other statements in the same way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, by the way, that one will give us a bit of thought about being pure in heart. But this kind of pure in heart can well better be understood if you think of a person who is single-minded in heart, who has just one idea in heart and mind. Impure would be two or three ideas. The person who is sincere, the person who is genuine. Now, you can put it this way, too, if you want to. You can say, blessed is the person who doesn't consider sinful conduct. Well, I can assure you that if you have singly one thought in your mind that you want to please God, I know you're not going to be considering the other. It's just a different way of saying the same thing. But the main point is, blessed is the person whose heart is right with God. Now, some of us would have concern about that. We know right well our hearts aren't pure. And every time you see the word pure along this line, you could put in the word purified, because by the grace of God it can be pure. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But it's a fortunate thing if your heart's been purified in this, that you have just one concern, and that is to be right in the sight of God. They shall see God. You really belong to Him. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I'm sure that you would understand right away that you don't make peace by talking peace. It isn't that you make peace because you tell everybody, let's quit fighting, then we'll have peace. Now, why do people fight? James will tell you why you fight and why you war and so on. You have not, and then you fight in order to gain. In other words, the peacemakers, if you had two boys that were quarreling as to which one was going to ride the bicycle, who would be the peacemaker? The one that would give the bicycle to the other boy. You say, well, no one would ever do that. Very well, but this is the truth. The truth of the matter is that the peacemaker, they shall be called the children of God. The way, you know, as much as lieth in you, you are to be at peace with all men. You, a third person, can't make peace between two fighting folks. The person who can make peace is the person who is involved in the fight and who gives in. That person can make peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ would approve that kind of thing. So blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The servant is not greater than his master. The Lord Jesus lived a perfect life, and they killed him. And the servant shan't expect that he would live a perfect life in this world and not have trouble. So blessed is the person who is being persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a sign that they really and truly do belong. And so with men shall revile you, when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. All of these have described the various traits and characteristics which would appear if the will of God were being done in the heart. And it's worth it because, on the other hand, were all these promises of what God would do. Now, this was never put down here and preached with an idea of getting me to do like this. This is by way of telling me that if I were in the will of God, these blessings would follow. Only one person ever perfectly did the will of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will give me His righteousness, and I can have these blessings through faith in Him. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our thinking together on these things, and help us to appreciate what Christ Jesus makes possible. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.